President Obama is wrapping up his Martha's Vineyard vacation. He returns to Washington tonight.
President Obama hit the links with comedian and Curb Your Enthusiasm star Larry David. The president played 5 hours of golf in a foursome that also included former U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk and businessman Glenn Hutchins, a part owner of the Boston Celtics. Earlier, President Obama spent a couple of hours with the First Lady and their daughters on a private beach on the island's South Shore. They all went out for dinner Saturday night at a restaurant overlooking a harbor. The president has kept a low profile during his stay and spent most days golfing. I'm Carlotta Bradley.
A procession of police officers on motorcycles paid tribute to fallen Massachusetts Institute of Technology police officer Sean Collier by putting a single red rose where he died. A federal indictment alleges surviving Boston Marathon bombing suspect Johar Tsarnaev and his brother shot and killed Collier in April while trying to elude authorities. I'm Ed Donahue, AP Radio News.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Everybody get ready for Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. A foodie born and bred, my wife Nikki loves chatting up chefs, dining out, and insider industry buzz.
And my husband David thinks a great meal is nothing but a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Because he is cheap.
Well, maybe so, but Foodie married Beast anyway, and together we've got the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking.
It's Foodie and the Beast, and we are on now.
You know, every week when I hear that I'm cheap, I twitch. And it's not true. I'm just careful. All right. Welcome to Foodie and Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We are fresh back from 2 days out in the fields at Lambstock on Craig Rogers Farm. It was
at Border Springs.
Awesome.
It was awesome.
It was worth the 5 hour drive to spend 2 days reliving my Woodstock fantasies.
Right. Since you missed it the first time around.
With fine dining chefs cooking lamb every which way and music and the best wines of Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Virginia Wine Board. That was a blast. So,
and the American Lamb Board.
And the American Lamb Board.
We couldn't
have
done it without them.
That's right. And you're going to hear more about that because we're putting together two shows of all the interviews we did out there. And you'll hear that in September.
Mm-hmm.
And so on with the show.
Yes.
We've got Mitch Berliner is going to be joining us. He's with Central Farm Markets and he's got news about what's happening out there. And Sarah Polan, who is Supergirl. You met her here about 2 years ago. And
was it 2 years ago?
I think it was
2 years ago.
And she looks
She's
better
back.
Than ever. She's hot.
She is.
And you know, now she and her homemade soups are a foodie force to be reckoned with, and she's got all kinds of news for us about expansion and growth and maybe some showbiz. We'll hear about that too.
All right, and we are going to be talking crabs because the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay's bounty of amazing blue crabs, they have brought them in studio. I just didn't say any of that
when
right.
When you said crabs, I thought you meant yourself.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Well, if anybody else
looked at
you, they would all be crabbing.
They're so rare.
That's why I'm going to the beach without
you.
Okay, so it's the fourth annual Crab Week. It's going on at the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay, and we have Georgia, say your last name for me.
Cephas.
Georgia Cephas is in studio.
I could do that.
She is going to be picking crabs for us. We're going to get
she
a
She called
total...
me baby before, so
yeah,
you
well,
better watch it.
Somebody should. 411, and Carrie Rupert is in also. We're going to find out all about the happenings going on. I know my good friend Amanda McClements is going to be down there, so it sounds like a lot of fun. And
it's my turn. And yeah. People are going to perk up when they hear this name. Marcus Johnson is here with us today. He's an accomplished musician. You got, what, 15 albums out?
Yes.
I ain't
you have
got
to stand
one.
In front of the mic in order for us to hear you.
I haven't got one.
Right.
And
we can work
well,
on
that's bad on him,
no,
right?
We got it.
And
come on,
his,
man, we got it.
His new flow, it's for love of brand of lifestyle, really, but now encompasses music and wine.
Yes.
Right? I'm not kidding.
Okay.
And he's in with his partner, Robert, now I'm going to say it, Pizziali. See? Pizziali.
Yeah, that's good.
In Italian, it's Pizziali.
It is, and you got that right, and you've been giving me some
slack gruff,
for Americanizing.
Who do you want to be today, Robert?
Okay.
You can be anybody. You can be Marilyn. I don't care. It's all right.
And you forgot Andrew Evans and barbecue.
I haven't forgotten Andrew Evans and barbecue.
You passed right over him.
No, well, Andrew Evans is one of the Eastern Shore's top barbecue chefs. We've been talking. He is to barbecue what Botticelli was to painting. Am I right, Andrew?
Say yes.
Okay. And so with Labor Day looming, we're all planning that Big Bang end of summer barbecue, and he's in to tell us really how we can be successful with friends, family, and tummy.
Well, yes? We're going to get the 101 on barbecuing. We're going to learn what's the difference between barbecuing and grilling.
But first, we got to talk to Mitch.
Okay, let's talk to Mitch.
All right. Yeah?
How about it?
Look at the look I got. Mitch Berliner, tell us what's going on at Center Farm Markets.
Good morning, kids.
Hi,
Thanks
Mitch.
Thanks so much for having me. Good morning. Thanks for having us on your esteemed show once again. We really
esteemed.
Appreciate it. Esteemed?
You don't have to suck up to me. I got nothing for you. It's
all right, so Mitch, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to know about your big pie-off that you're having at the market. Well, can you tell us about it?
I will indeed. I'm just going to invite everybody down, rain or shine. 52 weeks a year at the Bethesda Central Farm Market. It's the height of the season, and as far as the grilling stuff, we've got everything for grilling, from meats and vegetables and peaches, everything for the grill. But now I'm going to turn it over to my supervisor. You know what I'm talking about, David. And she's going to tell us.
Thanks for saying that publicly, Mitch. That's great.
Fourth annual Baked Bethesda Pie Contest, open to all amateur bakers, with the money going to Manna Foods. So here's Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Deb.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing? So let's hear all about this competition. It sounds amazing.
It is amazing. This is our fourth year, and we're really excited. We have three fabulous judges. Each year, we have amateur bakers bake pies, and they can be either a sweet or savory pie. And last year, and continuing this year, we opened it up to children, and we have some fabulous kid bakers, too.
Oh, that's so much fun.
It is. It's a lot of fun. It's a fundraiser, as Mitch said, for Manna. And we collect the money, we give it to Manna. We raised over $1,000 last year. Everybody has a great time. At the end of the contest, at the end of the judging, and we have wonderful prizes. Restaurants have donated dinners, and Le Creuset donates dinnerware, cookware, bakeware. And at the end, all of the ties are cut up, and everybody can have a taste. So we had about 200 people vying for all the pies last year.
Oh, so that sounds like a lot of fun. And I think, isn't David Hagedorn one of the judges?
He is.
Who?
David Hagedorn and from the Washington Post.
Oh,
right.
Him.
Goldfarb.
Oh, and Aviva. We just had Aviva in studio. Aviva Goldfarb. Okay.
Yeah. And Ed Likerat.
I don't know him.
Great
chef. Punch a bullet in the poor guy. That's terrible.
Who wants to do this, because they just love great pie, and all of our bakers, all of our farm bakers are really good.
Deb, so, I got a question. Is it true that pie R square or not?
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry?
He's being silly.
It was a joke, but it went by. Never mind.
Anyway. Okay, so Deb, how can people get involved?
They can sign up on our website, centralfarmmarkets.com.
Okay.
It takes you right to a registration site. It's very easy to do, and all you have to do is bring your pie here Sunday, September 1st, and we were going to have a great time.
Excellent. All right, Deb, thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Bye,
have
guys.
A good day.
Bye with us. All right,
bye-bye. All right, we're going to start drinking wine.
Well, we are and we're not. We're going to start. I want to start, Marcus, let's start with you, because, as I said, you've generated 15 fabulous albums, and suddenly you're in the wine business. What led you to incorporate a love of wine into your kind of music world and business and all of that? And you're going to have to stoop down, because that microphone's not.
It's just not working with
us. Yeah, I can't see it. Okay, yeah. Honestly, to tell you the truth, we were talking about it a little bit earlier offline, and you know, you started with a couple of CDs when I was in school here at Georgetown, and I was finishing up my law degree in MBA, and put out a couple of records. And in about 2004, when I was working through about my seventh record, I just saw a change in the industry. MP3 came out, MP3.com came out, and really the bottom fell out of the industry itself. I noticed a change in the way that radio was working and broadcast, and really the entire media industry was going through disruption. Now, when you have a certain lifestyle that you like to live and fun things that you like to do, you have to adapt.
You have to evolve.
Exactly. And that's exactly what we did.
That could be my problem.
Mm-hmm.
No, being cheap is good sometimes, brother. It's all good. So, started off with the Flow branded CDs, lifestyle CDs. I knew I had a brand. I knew people were more oriented.
Were you using Flow as your terminology before that? Was that something
exactly.
you always used?
Okay. Exactly. It first started out as for lovers only, but I sat on a desk one day. I was looking out of a window. It's like, man, this isn't brandable. We can't scale this. and started thinking through some other names, and For the Love Of came up. And I was like, okay, this is it, because For the Love Of Anything, and that's what we started with. And, you know, we started with the Flow CDs, Flow Romance, Flow Chill, Flow Standards. Mm-hmm. Now we have Flow Holidays, a couple of versions of Flow Chill. And as the industry still started to decline, I was reading an article by Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks. And he's like, look, man, what business are you really in? And we're in the therapy business. And it's making things a little better. So we're a lifestyle enhancement company. We make your lives better one sip and sound at a time.
Oh, I'd like to make an appointment right after the show.
Dr. Johnson. We're about to hook you up right now. How about that?
Well, let's quickly go over to Robert. So Robert's going to be pouring the wine. How did you two hook up?
Actually, we met when I was working at – I moved from Napa Valley to D.C. 4 years ago.
What? Isn't it supposed to be the other way around? All right.
I wish it were.
So you're mentally challenged. Keep going.
Aw, that's not nice.
You came here for what?
Oh, now I'm going to make you feel bad. Yeah. I came here to be with my daughter.
Oh, no, that's good. All right.
Good. I'm glad.
So I was working at a winery up in Northern Virginia, and we had sponsored Marcus's CD release party previously, so there was an existing relationship. He and I got together, and he said, hey, can we do a private label for this lifestyle brand through the winery you work at? We did it. It worked great. There were some limitations. It was, you know, Virginia wine right now, it's really challenging to be a national brand if you're from Virginia. The price point was too high because of the economies of scale. So we went out to California. We found a producer out there. We got a couple of national accounts, and quit my job at the Northern Virginia Winery, and you know, the rest is history.
All right, great. Well, what are you pouring first? We're going to talk to you guys throughout the show, so why don't you tell us what you're pouring first?
All right, well, I changed the order a little bit so we can do our red blend with these amazing-smelling barbecue ribs.
Excellent.
So we're going to start out with the Moscato. This is our newest wine.
Great.
Great. Thank you. We'll let you pass that around.
All right. What is that up in the sky? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? No, I've never heard that before.
And it's
dripping. It's Supergirl.
Yay, it's dripping. Sarah.
So, Sarah, I mean, I mentioned this when we did the intro. When we first met you, you were really right in the first stages of rolling out your business. And
I think your shop had just opened.
Correct.
Right? You just opened it.
So, you know, and now you're Supergirl. Tell us what you've been up to.
I just don't like that. Can we just take that off the table, please?
I'm sitting here. Wait a minute. It's a family show, and I got my daughter in my lap, so this is terrible. But what have you been up to?
We're expanding a lot. So when we last spoke, we had just opened our store, and that was an expansion of our online delivery business and farmers market. Now we have the store. We expanded the store. So
the store's cool.
Thank you. It took over the coffee shop next door, so we expanded our kitchen, and now we are in the wholesale market. So we're at several Whole Foods, expanding that, a lot of Glen's Garden Market, a lot of these
Chevy Chase Market.
We're expanding that, and then we're in a couple cafes and bars downtown, and we're starting a soup revolution.
Okay, but so let's talk about your product first. Tell us a little bit about the kinds of soups and salads that you carry, and how you've grown in the last 2 years.
So we've always stuck to our values, which are local, healthy, mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. Meaning you'll feel good about eating our soups or our salads. The ingredients come primarily from small local farms that are sustainable. And we cook the way I think my mother cooks, meaning...
But she's back there with you, isn't she?
She's creating all the recipes.
When you serve it, you go, eat, yeah, like that.
You should eat something. That's when you open the container, that's what, it's like one of those kids' books, eat something. But really, we have people losing weight eating our soup, people with low-salt diets eating our soup. It's just...
he needs to go on a low-salt diet.
Yeah, before my head explodes.
And also, look, people are concerned about salt. They also need to be concerned about sugar and other additives. Mm-hmm. And we're adding nothing funky into our soups. I was inspired by Michael Pollan, who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma. And one of the things he says is, if your grandmother doesn't recognize an ingredient, you shouldn't be eating it. And, you know, if you look at our beet gazpacho here, you know, local beets, local cucumber, local tomato, local green pepper, jalapeno pepper, red onion, red wine vinegar, lemon juice, garlic, olive oil, kosher salt,
just
pepper.
Just gave away your recipe.
Well, you don't know the magic.
Right, there's like a magic to it.
Andrew's making notes over there.
So when we're cooking in season. And what's been challenging is as we grow, we really want to stick to this local farm network. So we have to expand the farm network in order to accommodate the growth, but we really want to stick with that. And people trust our brand, and so it's being received very well at the stores that we're at. And a lot of customers are requesting it at other stores. Mm-hmm. So it's really, it's an exciting time. It's a scary time, and it's an exciting time.
Well, it sounds it. All right, we are going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we want to talk about your expansion into the markets, how that changes, like, your product and staying local.
I want to talk about what you're doing for the Jewish holidays.
Yeah, well, absolutely. We'll get into that, too. All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
In times of joy, in moments of grief, broadcasters come through, even when all else fails. Today, with more ways than ever to experience the moments that transform our lives, Americans still choose broadcast radio and television more than all other media combined. We are the local broadcasters of radio and television, reaching more people, touching more lives. Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Signs, so subtle we may not notice them. Signs like loss of interest in activities. Signs like insomnia, fatigue, or withdrawing from friends.
Hey, hear me. Come play cards with us.
Even talking about wanting to die. These are signs of depression.
Hi, my name is Smitty. My husband, Congressman Jerry Connolly, and I urge you to take signs of depression seriously. Let your loved one know you care. Then seek help from a doctor or mental health professional.
Brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Escape the everyday to the close-by Early Mountain Vineyards in Madison, Virginia. A relaxing getaway just a short drive from D.C., it has an award-winning tasting room, breathtaking views of the Blue Ridge, and the best of Virginia wines, locally grown food, live music, and slow sunsets. Visit earlymountain.com or follow them on Twitter at Early Mountain. Mention Foodie and the Beast and this ad for a free flight of wines at your next visit.
Hey, Mom. Why is the sky blue? Why don't animals talk? Why do dogs have wet noses? Why is an 11 pronounced 1T1?
Kids ask a lot of questions.
Why do I have a belly button?
But you don't have to know every answer.
Why is the ocean salty?
Because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent.
Why are there 50 states?
There are thousands of children in foster care who don't need every question answered.
Why is pizza round?
They just need you. For more information on how you can adopt, go to AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
We are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and the mellow tones of Marcus Johnson. Attorney Marcus Johnson. Go figure that. Are you a Renaissance man or what?
Yep.
So we're still with Sarah talking about your soup empire. And, you know, you and Nikki kind of went into sourcing and all of that. I want to talk about something more, you know, important to me, and that's what's going to be on my plate. Jewish holidays are coming up.
Yes.
Soups are central to that. What do you got for me, man?
So one thing a lot of people don't know about us is that we're a kosher company. And also we're vegan, which for kosher people means we're parv, which mm-hmm. means you can serve our soup with a meat meal, with a dairy meal. You can serve it however you want. The other thing that's interesting, well, the Jewish holidays are basically start next week. It's just not, they're
it's
so
early. It's
early
this year.
Yeah,
what? I haven't put up the tree.
You know that Hanukkah is over Thanksgiving.
I know.
So, but it
sort
also
sort of good
means,
news, bad news.
Yeah, get it over with.
Get it out of the way.
But the thing is, the Jewish holidays, it's still, I know it's hard to believe today. We're all wearing our winter jackets, but it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot over Rosh Hashanah. It's going to be hot over Yom Kippur. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be rolling out a lot of more gazpacho. Watermelon gazpacho is a great thing. That's one of our signature gazpachos.
Yum.
And it's a great thing to eat before and after the fast because mm-hmm. it's extremely hydrating. And it's also really light.
Speaking of which, didn't Washingtonian just name your gazpacho the healthiest in D.C.?
They did. Washingtonian
they
named
the
us
healthiest?
The healthiest in the city. That's
very cool.
Yeah, so we're serious about people trusting our brand.
Okay.
And so, and also in the store, we're going to have our signature vegan matzo ball soup.
Okay, can you explain that? Because that doesn't make sense to
well,
me at all.
There's no egg. There's okay. no egg in it. So we use...
Well, there's no chicken schmaltz either.
There's no chicken schmaltz. We cook a very,
what, are
very
speaking
rich...
speaking another language here? What up?
We cook a very, very rich, hearty vegetable stock.
Mm-hmm.
And then we make the matzo balls with a potato starch.
Okay.
But we have people swear by
it. They love it.
Yeah.
All right. I'm willing to try it.
Yeah, give it a
I
try.
Absolutely am willing to try it. All right. You brought in two other things today. Tell us what you brought in.
I brought in... So the beet gazpacho that we're trying right now is
it's
made
delicious.
From these local beets. And it also... You just have to not wear white t-shirts when opening up the container.
You
look like a Jackson Pollock painting. Mm-hmm. We also have a peach gazpacho, so similar concept to the beet gazpacho, but peach.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as I mentioned, we have at our store, and that a number of these stores around the area, are salads, quinoa salads, wheat berry salads, again, all healthy, whole grains. So here we have a spicy quinoa, bean, and corn. So the same concept.
So
You know, local ingredients, healthy, low salt. Quinoa is a power food.
Mm-hmm.
Very low, it's gluten free, low on the glycemic index. It's all the good things you want. So these are things you can find around town as well.
Great.
And then in the fall, you'll start. You're never going to see with us a tomato soup in January. You're never going to see a pumpkin soup in August. But starting in the fall, you'll start seeing our signature winter and fall soups coming back. Pumpkin
soup.
Because
we have our standards.
That's correct.
That's right.
All right, Sarah, tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find us at the Bethesda Whole Foods, the Friendship Heights Whole Foods, Rockville and Glover Park Whole Foods, along with Chevy Chase Market, Glenn's Garden Market, and a number of others, Mom's Organic Market. Just go to our website, go to the FAQ page, the Frequently Asked Question page, scroll down, and you can see the full list of stores. And you can also visit our store in Tacoma Park, order online, or visit us at several farmers markets all over the
country.
Operators are on duty now.
I have one more question for you. Are you still doing the delivery, though?
Yes.
So that's still in process.
That is still,
going to ever ease up on that?
Well, that part of the business has definitely gotten smaller as the wholesale business.
Wait, you'll bring this stuff to my house?
I will bring it right to your door.
Will you bring
I'll
it?
Practically
will you fly or will you drive? Last question for you, because there are rumors that we might be in another medium. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, there are some, I can't say networks, I can't name the specific ones. They're interested in
food. No, it's not.
We're talking about starting with a web-based show and rolling it out to TV.
Cool.
And that's currently in, I can't say, but
it's in process.
It is in process.
Excellent.
Yeah, so
we'll
stay tuned.
We're thinking of doing an all-naked version of Foodie and the Beast. I don't know if that'll get on the
Netflix. He's thinking,
Beat gazpacho would be perfect
I'm ready.
With that.
Right. I'm totally ready. No, she's not. She's
I'm
not allowed to,
it.
But I am. All right, well, listen, good luck, and
thanks,
I'll be calling for my soups.
Okay.
Please do.
All right, so let's get back to Marcus and Robert.
Right, Robert, I have a quick question for you. You poured a Moscato, and I feel like I'm seeing Moscato everywhere. Why is that?
It's kind of, I would say it's like the hot, sweet wine alternative now. Maybe,
to what?
Well,
I mean, I don't like sweet wine, so I don't understand why it's, what's the big deal with it?
Well, I understand that, and I think that... honestly, it's kind of an evolution of White Zinfandel. I think what White Zinfandel was as an entry-level wine that was sweet, that was sort of approachable to people who didn't have
a palate.
You know, a refined palate, that just wanted to kind of venture into drinking wine. What White Zinfandel was, 15 years ago, whatever, is Moscato now. And it is the hottest growing category.
I mean, particularly with the right cheeses and all this would be spectacular because it would cut some of the stinky, heavier cheeses would be a great balance.
It's fantastic with blue cheese. It's also a great dessert pairing.
Makes sense. Okay, cool.
All right.
Well, so let's get back to how you guys partnered up, Marcus and Robert. What was your involvement?
How did you meet?
Yeah.
That's the question.
How did you guys meet? And then how did you guys, decide on the wine?
Did you have a traffic violation and Marcus was your attorney? Or how did
that... Ha, ha, ha. No, just like... We met literally. I'd reached out to the vineyard that Rob was working with and wanted to talk about the idea of doing a private label wine. Actually, we were working on a project for Valentine's Day for Giant as well.
That's right.
And seeing what we could do to private label something.
But did you have wines in mind? Were you like, I know exactly the flavor or the style I want to go with my music? Did you have any sort of idea what you were looking for?
I really didn't.
Okay,
I mean,
just
one of the things you learn in business as an entrepreneur is you focus on your strengths, and then you surround yourself with people who are the experts in a particular area.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it's been so great to work with Rob. As it relates to marketing and promotion, that's been my forte and how I've been able to take the brand. And, we're in pretty close to 2,000, venues and have people ordering online and things like that around the country. You get people who know about Flow Wine when I go to Paris. They're asking me how the wine is going, and that's the promotional side. However, we were working with Super Value, who owns about 700 stores, and they wanted to launch us nationally and wanted to be first to market. And Rob sat with the wine buyers, and we came up with a consumer profile of the consumer taste profile. He went out with the winemaker at our former producer, Delicato, and they sat down and went through a bunch of vials. And then Rob brought it back, we sat and tasted it in Bethesda and decided on, you know, what the particular varietals that we wanted. At that particular time, we launched with the Chardonnay and the Red Blend, which was a Cabernet Sauvignon Petit Sirah Merlot blend.
Great.
And, I mean, literally, he's the wine guy, you know what I mean? And has his MBA as well.
Right.
So it's, you know, that was the thing on the golf course that day. Like, Rob, look, we're doing it this way. We both have the accoutrement to do what we need to do in the experience. Let's do it for real. Let's not do it by accident.
I want to say that accoutrement is a big word for this show, but
it's a big word for David.
No, it's not.
The accoutrement.
What are you, Robert? What are you going to be pouring next? You have to stand in front of the mic, please.
Sorry.
That's okay.
So the first was the Moscato. Next we have a Chardonnay.
Great.
I'll be pouring for you guys in a second here, and
Tell us a little bit about it, because, you know, it's a California Chardonnay. Are we talking oaked, un-oaked? Tell us about it.
It's actually oaked, and it has some malolactic fermentation, which gives it the butter. But it's oak and butter are accents. They're not the driving force. It's really about being a bright, crisp, fruit-forward, acidic wine, very refreshing for summer. The style, we're talking about kind of pairing the wines with the customer demographics as we'd identified them. All of these wines are made to be by the glass wines, very fruit forward, very easy drinking, very approachable, great for the entry level wine drinker, but with enough nuances that if you're more of a connoisseur, you can still appreciate them.
Cool.
So that's what we try to do with the Chardonnay as well.
Okay, great.
All right. Well, now we're going to turn the conversation
Sarah,
to
I'm going to ask you to stand up, please. And I'm going to bring in the women from the Chesapeake Hyatt.
So Kerry Rupert is the Assistant Director of Sales. And Georgia Cephas is the Director of Crab Expertise.
Among many other things I learned off air.
At the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay in Cambridge. Now, that resort has become one of the great kind of getaway, you know, near-term getaway spots for Washingtonians. And in fact, our friends Brian and Adriana Seligman called yesterday just to say they're going out of town for a couple of days and they're down at your place. And it's, you know, Cambridge is actually a well-kept secret in the sense that, you know, people tend to drive past it to go out to the ocean. But it's a great little town with lots going on and clearly lots of good food and lots of crab. So I guess what's your secret for having pulled so many, you know, so many folks from this area down to Cambridge?
Well, we're a great, like you said, a close, great resort on the water. And, you know, we have golf, we have spa, we have a 150-slip marina, 3 pools, 6 restaurants. I mean, we're a full resort kind of. You can come and just stay there, or you can go off property and go to St. Michael's. You can go into downtown Cambridge, where there's all these new restaurants that are opening up. And we just had a new brew pub that opened. So there's just a lot of, like, It's really, I just call it the best kept secret.
That's great. You know, Cambridge a billion years ago used to, I mean, it was so small. We had friends that had a house there, and you'd go there, and there weren't nothing to do.
Yeah.
Now
there's so much to do.
Well, so, but let's talk a little bit about the property for people who haven't had the pleasure yet of getting down there. Tell us a little bit about how it's set up and what it's like.
Yeah, so it's 400 rooms. We also have 9 pet-friendly rooms. Mm-hmm. We allow up to, like, 270-pound dogs.
How pet-friendly are you?
We allow up to 270-pound dogs.
Okay.
So, I mean, but we don't have a scale.
We have one that weighs 165.
We have 100.
But, I mean, maybe if you combined it together.
That wouldn't matter.
We give dog beds out, dog treats, everything for, you know, but it's dogs. So. And then, like I said, we have 6 restaurants. We have a 18-hole golf course, 18,000 square foot still Sago Spa and Salon, which just had $1 million renovation. Mm-hmm. We rebranded it, and full service salon as well. And then, as I said, 150-slip marina. So that marina is full service, Wi-Fi, cable, pump out, gas, everything there. And we can accommodate up to a 150-foot yacht, so you could bring yours down. So.
Thanks so much. There's a crab
week, but it's actually 2 weeks.
It's actually because it became so popular. We ended up making
it. Do we have problems counting in Cambridge?
Or? Yeah, a little bit. No, we ended up, because it was so popular, we ended up extending it. So it's 2 weeks, actually. It kicked off on Friday, and it runs to the Friday before Labor Day. So we teamed up with McCormick Spices, and every guest that's checking in gets Old Bay. As they check in. Mm-hmm. And so they have little packets to take home. We have, as you said, Amanda McClemens coming from Salt and Sundry. She's coming on the 28th. We also have the Feeling Crabby food truck from here in D.C. They're coming for 2 days and selling their crab sandwiches. They also do lobster sandwiches. And then just everything crab. We have crab picking contest, crab cake eating contest. We team up with the oldest crab picking plant in the world, which is Clayton's. And okay. that's where we get all of our crab. And it's so fresh. It's the freshest blue crab out there. And, I mean, Georgia knows all about it. So it's
all right, just, well, we're going to take a break. Yes. And then when we get back, we're going to start Perfect. Talking to Georgia. All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are going to be picking crab in studio. We're getting a real education. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Perfect. Thank you.
Come celebrate Central Farm Market's 5th anniversary season with the freshest produce, dairy, baked goods, fresh fish, meats, poultry, and specialty foods around. Enjoy music, wine tastings, cooking demos and classes, and kids activities at two great locations, Sundays 9 to 1 in downtown Bethesda and Saturdays from 9 to 2 in North Bethesda, Rockville. Come out and see for yourself why Washingtonian and Bethesda magazines hail the markets as the best in the metro area. To learn more and sign up for the weekly e-blast, visit www.centralfarmmarkets.com. The two central locations in downtown Bethesda and North Bethesda, Rockville are kid-friendly and dog-friendly, have plenty of parking, and great food. For a listing of food artisans, events, and exact addresses, check out www.centralfarmmarkets.com. That's centralfarmmarkets.com. See you this weekend.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Each day, over 49 million Americans live in households that experience hunger, including 17 million children. Johnson's Florist and Garden Centers want to help. They're asking gardeners in the Washington area to plant extra this growing season, and at harvest time, bring that extra to one of their stores in D.C., Kensington, and Olney, Maryland. All donations will go to a local organization that feeds the hungry. Visit johnsonsflorist.com to learn more about the Plant a Row for the Hungry initiative. johnsonsflorist.com.
That's more music leading us in from Marcus Johnson, and Marcus will be back on air in a couple of minutes. But meanwhile, we're with Kerry Rupert and Georgia Cephas from the Hyatt Regency down in Cambridge, and I've been shoving various versions, iterations of crab in my mouth during the commercial break. So, Georgia, I said, why don't you guys, we want to hear more because there's more going on Crab Week, but you're going to be, what's it properly called?
Picking.
Picking.
Not shucking, picking.
It's not shucking?
No,
did I say shucking?
No, shucking, baby.
No, it's picking.
Okay. I love when she calls me baby.
Oh.
You know, once you get married, they'll stop calling you baby. She's going to be picking
Don't
your crab.
Don't you feel bad for him, Georgia?
Yes.
I mean, he must have such a hard
life's
life.
Life's a biatch, boy, I'll tell you. All right, so
tell us what you're doing, because I think people are a little intimidated about how to properly do this with the crab.
Okay, first thing you do, pull claws off.
You got to get your mouth through.
Pull the claws off.
Yeah.
Down the back. If you stick it down the back,
okay,
you clean all of it out at one time.
Pop the top off. Now, what about those gills? Don't eat those.
No. You can eat them. They won't hurt you, but your body won't digest them.
That's
the gills
not good.
Off? No.
That's real bad.
Yes, it is.
So you clean all the gills out?
Yes.
While you're doing this?
Yes.
Okay.
You need to cut all the knuckles off.
Okay.
The knuckles are the long stringy things that look like
legs.
Legs. Do it at home. You get all the meat you can.
Yeah, and you suck on them, right?
Professionally, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
All two crabs have a black line here and here.
Mm-hmm.
The jumbo lump, it's only two per crab, is behind this line.
Okay.
I'll be darned. So, I didn't know that.
They didn't know that either.
Yep. Cut all the way down.
Look at her go.
Yeah. All right. Now I'm learning something.
I've picked crab for 39 years.
Clearly, you know what you're doing.
Yes.
I never doubted.
See?
It all comes out.
Oh, my God. Look at that. That's gorgeous.
All right. So here, for people, because radio is theater of the mind, when you get down to business with the crab, there are two black horizontal lines on either side of sort of the sacks where the crab meat is.
Yes.
And you stick your knife right in there and peel off the top of whatever that thing is. What's
it? Yes.
The abdomen?
Top shell.
The top what?
Top shell.
Yeah, the top shell.
Yes.
How could I not know that?
Right. Duh.
And you can, because I'm the stupid one, because, and then you can get all the crab meat out literally in a lump, which is why they call it, hello, lump crab meat. Okay.
So when you're doing this at the hotel, all you're going for is the lump. You don't go for any of the other crab within the crab. That's all you're going for?
I go for everything that's in the body of the crab, but, okay. but the claws. I don't do the claws.
You don't do the claws. So what do you do with all the claws? Compost? That's it?
Nope. Soup and dip.
Soup and dip?
Yes.
Okay, so everything gets used
yes.
at the end of the day.
Yes.
Great. Okay, so Carrie, tell us a little bit more about some of the, like, who can participate? Are you is there specials to stay at the Hyatt? Tell me a little bit more about that.
We have Sunshine on Sale, which is our third night free, and you get breakfast daily for two. So that's we have that, as well as we have some local promotions that start Sunday through Thursday, basically a $149 rate, just trying to pick up some midweek business. But people that aren't staying at the resort, we have next Saturday at Clayton's, the oldest crab picking plant in the world, actually, and they were featured on Dirty Jobs. We're taking over that whole factory, and we're doing a huge crab feast. Well, and anybody can go to that.
What day is it?
It's next Saturday, so it's the what's the calendar? Like the
20.
It's next Saturday.
25th. Yeah, it's next Saturday.
I think it's the 25th.
It's like 6 days away.
Right.
That is cool.
So, and that's going on. So that'll be really neat. Last night we had a huge crab feast on the beach and had oysters, crabs, barbecue, and we did that on the beach there at the hotel. So
give us a web address where people can go and make reservations and get all this info.
Yep, it's ChesapeakeBay.Hyatt.com, and you can go online and see all of our promotions, or you can call at 410-901-1234.
All right. So, Carrie. And they should ask for Georgia, right?
Yes.
Oh. Georgia.
Well, Georgia,
yes.
You
anybody
are...
come, stay a couple of nights if you want crab picking lessons, I'll be sure to do it.
I love that.
You're
terrific. We got
Supergirl here and Super Crab Girl.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. So, Marcus and Robert, let's get back to you.
The Chardonnay
is great with all the crab stuff that we're having, the crab cakes and everything. It's perfect.
Yeah, it was kind of a fortunate coincidence.
Maybe you should, talk to the hotel people.
There you
right,
go.
About hey. Pairing these wines.
So, can we talk a little about the flow lifestyle? I mean,
I want to know about the Flow Fest.
Let's hear about Flow Fest.
We had the original Flow Fest in 2010. It was at Tarara, and it was great. And except that it was 105 degrees. That day with the heat warning, and we still had just about 1,000 people that came out.
Wow. But that property is so pretty.
It is.
It's so nice out there.
It is. It was great. We sold, about 1,000 glasses of sangria.
I guess that's what how do you sell red wine when it's 105 degrees?
You make it sangria.
You make it sangria.
And so what we're working on now is for 2014 to have the next Flow Fest, which is wine and music. And again, putting the lifestyle together, accessories, things of that nature. And a lot of my friends who are the tops in the jazz industry, I have them come in town and just showcase this area. Because I still think that, D.C. is growing and the D.C. metro area is growing as a food bastion. But I don't think that it has reached the level requisite to the food that's coming out of here and the experiences that are coming out of here. So we're going to do our part, and that's what Flow Fest is about.
Cool.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. All right. We have Andrew Evans who's coming up, but you guys are going to pour something to go with his barbecue. So tell us a little bit about that.
Trouble.
We are. So Marcus has given nicknames to each of the wines. The red is known as affectionately known as Trouble, but it's a very smooth, easy drinking red blend. It's predominantly Merlot with some Cabernet Sauvignon and some Petite Syrah. And when you read the back label, the first recommended food pairing is barbecued ribs. And so these ribs smell amazing, and I can tell already they're going to be a great pairing. So.
Okay, great. All right. Well, let's bring up, while you guys are pouring that, let's bring up Mr. Evans to the mic.
So Andrew is my new best friend. I love barbecue. And our daughter Tess is here. She's a barbecue freak. Half her body's barbecue. And he's the chef owner of the barbecue joint in Easton and more recently in Pasadena. And I think what we're going to engage in a little today is a barbecue 101. Because there are a lot of people that try it, and I'm going to bet only a small percentage that are really successful making ribs the way they ought to be made. So take it away, baby.
Barbecue is it's a little bit misunderstood for sure.
Most like people a juvenile delinquent.
Well, to be honest with you, you know, I was a fine dining chef. I used to own a restaurant called the Inn at Easton, and I was asked to be a judge at Jack Daniel's in Lynchburg, Tennessee. And quite frankly, I didn't know anything about barbecue really until I went down, took the course on how to be a judge, yada, yada, yada. It changed my life basically. And it's in my top five food experiences of my life when I've eaten a lot of food. But I came back and started smoking. But the definition of barbecue is...
Let's be clear what you were smoking.
No. Well,
don't worry, Andrew.
No, that was at the Jazz Festival about 20 years ago in New Orleans.
It'll be completely legal in about 3 years, so it'll be fine.
But the definition of barbecue is low temperature cooking smoke.
Okay.
Anything else is grilling. So when you just slop barbecue sauce on chicken, for let's say on your grill, we wouldn't define that truly as barbecue. We would describe that as grilling with barbecue sauce.
Well, and I think that's where people get confused. So to barbecue, smoke has got to be involved.
Yes, smoke,
and it's got to be low
and
slow.
I think that's probably one of the biggest, you know, head shakes for me was, oh, it's all smoked. You know, it's not barbecue unless there is smoke. And of course there's...
But when you say smoke, what exactly do you mean?
Well, we use flavored woods. It could be mesquite. It could be hickory, applewood, peachwood.
Oh my goodness.
Pecan wood. And then that's part of the secrets of creating great barbecue is putting together that combination of meat, smoke, thyme, I use brines, I use special rubs. And so...
David's eating. He's not listening. He's just eating.
He's just eating, right?
Right.
But, you know, a lot of people ask me this question, like, why, as a fine dining chef, did you get so excited about barbecue? I mean, I just was in Australia doing some food events there, demonstrating barbecue. And I get that same question here in the States. Mm-hmm. Why the change? Why are you so excited about it? And I think it really comes down to it's so challenging. And it reminds me of wine in a lot of ways. And I make this comparison. The things you do in barbecue 48 hours in advance make a big difference in what happens when your barbecue comes out. So like wine, you know, all the things that happen during the growing process, fermentation, what barrels they use, et cetera, have an outcome in the flavor. And
I'm going to jump in here for a minute because for the layperson, you know, there's really dry kind of there's meat with no personality to it. And there's stuff that's overcooked. This is perfect because it's on the bone.
But it's all about going low and slow.
Low and slow. So... I'm gonna give you a 2 second rundown on how to make ribs at home.
Okay, great.
And you don't need a smoker.
Can I just tell you like the way I cheat when I do ribs is I bake them. You know, I know it's so horrible, but I bake them at like 200 for like 4 or 5 hours, and then I put them on the grill. You know, for like the last.
Part of the problem with people who have gas grills at home, it's really hard to regulate that temperature.
Right, exactly.
It's hard to get it super low. So
what you can
do is turn off, only leave one of the four burners on, sort of thing. You want to cook around 250 for ribs, between 250 and 275, which isn't super low. It's low compared to cooking in your oven at home.
Right.
But you can get away with cooking ribs that temperature. Adding smoke, which is in the form of hickory chips or applewood chips, whatever your preference is. Mm-hmm. The real secret is brining the meat before you put it on the smoker. I'm giving away my secrets now.
So when you say brine, wait. But when you say brine, do you mean a liquid brine? Are you talking about a rub?
Brine. It's usually between 5 and 10% salt.
Okay.
And what that does is it draws the moisture out of the cells inside the meat, and then the cells suck it back up. And what they do is when they suck up the brine, it has flavoring in it and salt, which gives flavor and moisture, and you cook it.
So can you compare for people who don't understand the difference between a brine and a marinade?
Marinade usually has oil.
Okay.
If you took out the oil and added water, it would be much closer
to a
brine.
So you do not marinate at all?
Just do brines.
Could a rub replace a brine?
No.
Okay, so can you explain a rub?
The rub is the external flavoring on barbecue that creates what we call bark. And it transforms during the heating process into that kind of dark colored bark that you see on barbecue and ribs and whatnot. And just is a, it makes it uniquely American. I've been told that barbecue is the only indigenous food in America ever made.
Did you just hear that in Australia? Is that what you're saying?
No. No, this is.
Put another rib on the barbecue.
Nothing else has been invented in America, believe it or not. In this combination.
Excuse me.
Wait, chili dogs?
Flo was invented.
Flo has.
People in D.C. would argue about mambo sauce.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Very true.
Well, what about the Harlem Shake?
Yeah, right.
Well, all right. We have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to get more, like, I want to walk through the process, because I want to talk about, should you even bother marinating? And what about mops? I mean, do you use a lot of mops and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'll walk you through how I cook ribs.
Great.
And I can do it in a way that I think you should be able to do it on a gas grill at home and come up with a good result.
Okay, great. All right, this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are getting an education in studio all around. We're getting a little jazz.
A delicious one.
Crab picking, how to barbecue. We'll be back in just a sec.
Hi, this is Hillary Howard. Join me October 12th and 13th for the Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember. This year, we have 55 or 30-mile bike rides held at National Harbor Saturday, October 12th, and a 5K in Washington at the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Sunday, October 13th. The Law Enforcement Ride and Run to Remember raises funds and awareness while commemorating the service and sacrifice of law enforcement officers. Go to rideandruntoremember.org to register today.
We're all different, but if we all stand up as one, no one stands alone.
Won't you stand up, stand up, stand up?
One by one, we can change the world. It's up to you and me. On Monday, October 7th, let's all wear our blue shirts for World Day of Bullying Prevention.
Won't you stand up and use your voice?
Get your blue shirt at stompoutbullying.org.
If talking and texting interferes with a walk down the street, imagine what might happen if you're driving. Focus on the road, not your conversation. Your brain can't do both safely. No dialing, no talking, no texting to arrive safe.
Hi, I'm Brooke Delaney.
And I'm Congressman John Delaney.
As a teen, I know not to text while driving. My dad and I ask you to focus on the road, not your conversation.
This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Okay, this is a fashion first and definitely fashion forward. Imagine models strutting the runway in fashion made entirely of chocolate. Charity in Chocolate, a night to enjoy D.C.'s best food, fashion, and fun, hosted at the Mandarin Oriental on Friday, September 6th. This sweet event will support the Heart of America Foundation's Books from the Heart program. Give kids the tools to read, succeed, and make a difference. Get your tickets before they melt away at charityinchocolate.org, sponsored in part by Target.
All right, we are back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. You're listening to Marcus Johnson. Play those ivory keys. Very nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. It's going lovely with
great.
This barbecue.
Very
nice.
Before we get back to the show, I very quickly want to thank everybody who makes the show possible. If you're not on this list, I want you to feel real bad about it and call me soon. The folks at Neighborhood Restaurant Group, that's the Two Rusticos, Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key, and now Blue Jacket.
It's not open yet, but it will be soon.
Well, I'm
and you forgot Red Apron.
And Red Apron.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. The two founding farmers, our friends at Farmers and Fishers, Union Market, Black's Restaurant Group, Early Mountain Vineyard.
And I will say there is a huge festival going on today at Union Market. The
yes.
Good Food Awards are there, and there's an open house market today with a terrific dinner tonight, so it's going to be amazing down there
all
today.
Right. Folks at the Carpenter Shelter, the American Lamb Board, and the folks at the Virginia Wine Board who sent us down to
Lambstock.
That was fun.
Mm-hmm.
And now let's get back to Andrew Evans, who...
Okay, what did you just give us?
Who's wowing us.
Yeah, what did we just have? Your award-winning...
I just gave you our pork butt. With a little bit of our spicy sauce.
You give us some
sauce.
Pork tushy? A little pork tushy?
You know what, that's
in the
funny because that is my wife's term of endearment for me. Thank you.
You know,
she says, hey, pork butt.
I do pretty well in national barbecue competitions with pork butt. I just won first place in a competition in Middletown, Delaware. And it's, again, we brine it. That's probably our number one secret,
right,
and then rub it with our rub that it took me about 7 years to figure out.
Because, you know, thing can be... I be honest? I hear a lot about brining chicken and turkeys, you know, especially like come Thanksgiving time, yep, everybody's like to brine or not to brine. I've never heard anything about brining pork products. I've never heard that before.
Well, it's just, I don't think it's anything new,
okay,
but I think for the average person who you know, is like, oh, I'm going to make pork chops, you know, it is probably kind of a little more novel of a concept. And there's tons of brining recipes. If you Google brine, you'll, and it's pretty straightforward. It's vinegar, mm-hmm, salt, sugar, water.
Right.
In about 5% solution.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, salt-wise.
Right. I know you don't want to give it all away. Go ahead. It's all right.
Well, you know, the barbecue world's super secretive. When I started to try to learn how to barbecue, I'd go on blogs, I'd read about it. Very vague answers, very, you know, broad generalizations like I just gave you. I'm an expert at it now.
Right.
Because it takes so long to figure it out, and to develop your own style and something that works, it takes a long time and a lot of trial and error and a lot of meat.
Can I ask you a question? I am very, I mean, I know I can't ask a question. Why compete?
I mean,
is it just bragging rights? I mean, you have two very popular restaurants.
Well,
why compete?
That's a really good question. I started competing in barbecue long before I decided to open a barbecue restaurant. And when you're a chef and you get out of fine dining, the fine dining is quite challenging. You know, you have wine dinners, you have this and that. And there's some ways to challenge you just intellectually in the kitchen. But when you get out of that realm, barbecue for me became an even harder challenge than anything I used to do in the fine dining realm. It's just really difficult to be successful at it. The teams that are out there practice every weekend, I don't know what they do.
But like, this is what they do.
Will, like,
this is what
smoke
they do.
Any chef I'm friends with and I know. And, you know, it's just a, you know, if you like a challenge, I've not come across a more difficult food, you know, challenge in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like that.
And what do you serve?
Like,
do you participate in certain... It's all pork, right?
Or
do you?
No, there's four categories.
Okay, what is it?
Chicken ribs, pork butt, and brisket.
What happened to lamb? We had lamb ribs this weekend that were knocked
out.
They were
crazy.
Lamb will smoke up pretty well, but it's just not, you know, it's just not,
it's not
part
mainstream
of the Americana, you know?
And what about...
not yet.
What about cow?
Brisket.
But yeah, not the ribs or anything, right?
People smoke ribs, and I smoke all sorts of crazy things at the restaurant for specials.
Yeah, we got that about you. We got it.
Veal.
You know, we should talk. I smoked
veal
some crazy things in college.
Yeah. Meatloaf, hamburgers.
There were people smoking crazy things
at Lambda. I'm doing a meatball special for Super Bowl. I mean, for the football season where we smoke meatballs. I mean, I'll smoke anything I can get my hands on, basically,
cool,
and try it out.
All right. Well, let's tell people where they can find you, because we're going to have to wrap up.
But online, yeah, and in real life.
And where they can buy your sauces and rubs.
You can buy sauces and rubs. We make them by hand in Easton, Maryland. I have a restaurant right there on Dover Street. If you drive from Washington, D.C., literally, it is, you only turn once. You take a right on Dover Street. And
we've been there.
There you are, 1 mile down the road, and the barbecue joint's on the left.
And how many sauces do you have?
Four and four rubs.
Okay.
And we're really excited about a new restaurant that we just built. Again, barbecue joint, all the recipes are the same, in Pasadena, in a place called Lakeshore Plaza, and it's on the corner of Magothy Beach Road and Route 100, and it's twice the size of Easton.
Wow.
So it can accommodate a lot more. That's my biggest complaint in Easton.
I'll
is
bet
that
Easton's
I'm
very unhappy about that.
Yeah. Is there still straw on the floor? Same?
All right, so we got to wrap it. I'm sorry.
All right,
show's
ahead,
almost over. That's
up.
Andrew Evans from the Barbecue Joint.
Thank
what about
you
your
much.
Website? Website.
It's
the Barbecue Joint.
Yeah, I think it's Andrew Evans.
Andrew Evans, BBQJoint.com.
Right. Someone already took the barbecue joint. You know what?
I'm going to have to work with you because...
You sound a little angry about that.
But you did a little hitch. You didn't even know your own website. We're going to have to talk.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go back to Marcus and Robert. Guys,
this was perfect with the barbecue.
It was delicious.
What a way to cut the pepper.